All right, now it's official. Well, good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here. It's been a while that I've actually been here on a Sunday, I'll say that. I'm usually busy Sunday morning, too. So, but praise the Lord, I was able to come here and see some familiar faces and preach the Word of God, which is something I love to do. So, it's a blessing. Today's message, I guess we could title it, Accepted in the Beloved. Something that we all struggle with, and it doesn't matter where you're from, how old you are, how you were raised, where you work, something we all struggle with is acceptance, wanting or feeling the need to be accepted. So we're going to go through a couple passages today, and I want to start, why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start there. We'll read a couple of verses, and then we'll pray ourselves into the message. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start, once you get there, we're going to start in verse number 3. We don't realize, I'll preface with this, we don't realize how good we really do have it. And I think that kind of aids into some of our wandering. The one hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. It's in all of us. So chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. We have so many blessings that we don't even know about or even realize. Our blessings are not of this earth. They're heavenly. We are a spiritual people, and we need to focus on those spiritual blessings. And he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. God didn't choose us to be saved. Once we chose Christ, we are in Christ, then God wants us to be a certain way. He wants us to be holy without blame before him in love. And what he has predestinated us to be is adopted children. That's what he wanted. He wanted all of us to be adopted into the household of God, like David did with Mephibosheth, right? But verse 6 is what I want to focus in on. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love your word. We ask, Lord, that you teach us from your spirit of truth this morning, Lord, and be with our understanding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are accepted by God only and when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, right? So if we want to have a relationship with the Father, we have to trust his Son. And it's like a marriage. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Basically, the Lord, on the cross, he made a vow. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you receive that gift? Will you marry me? We men ask our soon-to-be wives, will you marry me? The Lord did the same thing with nail-pierced hands. He said, will you receive the gift of salvation? Will you receive me? Once you receive that gift of salvation, you are now saved and you're accepted by God the Father. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, this is something we all struggle with because the question is, if I have been accepted by God, who's the only one we really should be concerned about, if I have been accepted by God, why do I seek acceptance from the world? That doesn't, in the world that doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with Christ, and my life is supposed to be all about Christ, but yet why don't I do that? Why don't I have this? Why are we prone to wander? Okay, the easy answer is, well, we have flesh. We're not perfect yet. Okay, the Bible also says, be ye holy for I am holy. Oh, well, there's no way I could be holy. Well, is God lying? No, he expects some things from us. In Ephesians, he says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So Jesus himself warns us through a picture in the Gospel of Luke of what happens to the children of God when they seek approval, or when we seek acceptance from the world. Just as I am accepted by God once I am in Christ, the wavering Christian, the wavering son, can only be accepted by the world when they are living in the world. The next passage that we are going to look is a familiar one. It's a passage that us sons and daughters of God, of the Father, we need to apply this passage spiritually and practically. Turn with me to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Now, we know this passage as, I guess, the prodigal son, so to speak. And doctrinally speaking, I believe the Lord was using this parable of this son because he came to seek and to save that which is lost of the house of Israel. And Israel was a nation that was rejecting the Lord, and he came to save them, and they walk away from him. But spiritually speaking, today, to us Christians, our Father is the Lord, is God. And there's a beautiful picture here of a relationship of how a father and a son should be. So practically, we'll apply this to the Christian here. In verse 11, it says, "And he said," this is Jesus speaking, of course, "a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Okay. Culturally speaking, which was a great idea back then, the father would give his portion to the son before they got married. You didn't wait till your father died to get his will. He goes, no, I want to bless my children. Here, start your life out like this. That's great, right? So he goes, well, I he's not worried about a wife, obviously. He's wanting to leave the father for worldly reasons, for riotous living. So the father says, okay, well, this is when you want your portion, I'll give it to you. So his son takes his portion, and he goes out into his journey, it says, his journey into a far country, and wasted his substance. He went into the world with his substance, didn't use it for good, didn't use it for the father, didn't use it for his family. He didn't start a family with it. He wasted it by riotous living. Wasted substance, wasted time by living the same way the world does. What do? They're wasteful. Of all the gifts that God has given us, the world likes to waste them. Verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Under his father's roof, he never worried. He was content. He never had want. He was taken care of. But his own will, away from the father, without his father's provision and substance, well, now he's in need because he wasted the gifts that the Lord gave him." Now, spiritually speaking, I'm going to say this. I believe the Bible teaches that every single one of you, once you're in Christ, once you're saved, you have gifts that God blessed you with to serve him, to serve, to edify the body. Are you wasting them? Are you not using them for the Lord's sake? Perfect example, me. When I was younger, there was too long of a period of time when I wasn't walking with the Lord. Well, I played guitar. Was I playing hymns for the Lord in church? No. Was I going to nursing homes and trying to bless people there? No. Was I writing songs for the Lord? No. I wasted 10 years being a waste with that gift. Now, I'm not the next, guru guitarist, but it doesn't matter. It's a gift that the Lord blessed you with. He went out in the world and wasted his substance. You all have a substance of some kind. Are we using it for the Lord's sake? Verse 15. And he went, this is where it starts to turn. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Joined himself with someone who he shouldn't have joined with. If you can, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to show you how amazing the Bible lines up. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is truth. He joined himself with someone in that far country, and we have no business doing that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter speaking says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Once I got saved, he called me out of darkness, and he called me into light. I am part of this royal priesthood. If you're saved, you're part of this holy nation. Verse 10, "which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God." See, I wasn't a people according to the Bible. I wasn't in the household of God, but now I'm a people. I am a nation spiritually through Christ. Praise the Lord. "Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I have obtained mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, "dearly beloved." That's how I know he's talking to some saved people, because we're in the beloved. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul." Now, isn't that interesting? Peter says, I beseech you, I'm addressing you with some passion here, as strangers and pilgrims. Because in this world, in this far country that we live in, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're not citizens of this world. The hymn, "this world is not my home, I'm just a traveling through or passing by," or however it goes. The same thing applies here. I am a citizen of a holy nation. The problem with us Christians, it's the problem that we have, that we struggle with, is we don't think of our lives spiritual enough. We think too carnal. That's why Peter is saying, listen, you're a stranger and pilgrim. Don't abstain. Please run away from, like Joseph did. Run away from fleshy lusts. And we'll see in a minute that this son of this man, this father in Luke 15, that's all he wanted, to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's why he left his father, because his father wasn't that. His father was holy. His father was righteous. And the son knew that I can't do this stuff around him because he's light and I just want the darkness. That's what it is. So we are, if you like it or not, strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world should be strange to you. I'll say that. This world should be strange to the Christian. When you don't know if you're a man or a woman, that's strange. I mean, we could make light of it, but man, that's spiritually dark. How confusing and twisted Satan has made this world. I don't have any part of it. Back to Luke chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 16, "and he would fain," the son again, "he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." He was so hungry, impoverished, away from the father, that he was just happy eating what the swine were eating. Now, let's just talk culture for a minute. You want to talk about low? Did the Jews, how did they regard pigs? Unclean. They weren't supposed to touch them, eat them, have anything to do with the sow, the pig, okay? This son is away from his father, dwelling in the mire of this pig. You want to talk about low. He's not only not where he's supposed to be, he's in the lowest parts of where he's not supposed to be. That's an ugly scene. Verse 17, though. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He's like, I'm blood of this father, and I'm out here in the far country starving, and the servants are just being fed good, and they're well taken care of, and they're happy, and they're glad, and they work for my dad. And I'm sitting here out in the far country starving, sleeping and eating and with the pigs. When he realized that the hired servants had it so good, he started to change his mind about some things. When you're out there in the world long enough and you're away from God, hopefully you start thinking about where you are. I will say this, and, you know, take it for what it's worth. A lot of times, I'm actually going to talk about this in the end of the message. I know a lot of people that I grew up with that profess to be Christians. And the thought always crosses my mind. I know the thought has crossed your mind. Okay, well, was that person ever really saved? Right? It does. And I don't like to think like that, but sometimes you do got to walk circumspectly and you don't know. You just don't know. And you pray for them, hopefully. The hope is that once that person is in the world for long enough, that they actually have something in them with the Holy Spirit still talking to them, saying, turn around. Go back to the Father. And if they don't have that, that's when I would question. I'm jumping ahead. Let me not jump ahead. Let me stick to the text. Verse 18. He says, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." This is repentance. He's had enough. He's like, "Father, I've had enough. I want to come home." And verse 19, "And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." He wasted all the father gave him. He wasted that substance. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. He went into the world. He's like, "I'm not even worthy. I'll be a hired servant." God is so much more gracious than that. But he brings him back. Look at verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Of course he had compassion. That's his son. He's already accepted him. He can't give him back. Some people teach that you could lose your salvation. That's not biblical. He receives him. Watch, verse 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Bring him the best robe? I thought that was interesting. Yeah, how Jesus Christ will just wash you in righteousness and you'll wear that robe of righteousness. How about the father already gave him his substance? And he wasted it. He repents. He comes back. And the father gives him a ring. He puts shoes on his feet. And he gives him the nicest robe. Because of his repentance, what do we see? The Lord restored him. The Lord gave him exactly what he so freely gave up to the world. The Lord said, "Yeah, but you came back to me. I'm going to restore this for you. Because you're my son." By the son repenting, the father restores him. Verse 23 and 24. "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. and they began to be merry. I want to point something out here. If you look in verse 14, it says, verse 14 of Luke 15 says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Okay, now look at verse 24, what we just read. The son comes back. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. When the son went into the world, he began to be in want. When he went back to the father, they began to be merry. Without fellowship with the Father, you will be in want. Because if you have fellowship with the Father, and I referred to Psalm 23 earlier, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes care of his own." When the son came back, they both had merriment. They both were glad. They both were happy. Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He'll take you back. Maybe some of you here need to begin something new with the Father, something fresh with the Lord. Maybe you need some restoring. Maybe you have been walking on a different path, and you need to hear Psalm 23:3 that says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The Son himself, his own will, he led himself into the paths of worldliness, ungodliness, unholiness. The Lord, through restoring you, church, will lead you into the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. He gets the glory. Praise the Lord. You need to begin to be merry. Feelings of enjoyment and gladness. You need to ask yourself, when is the last time you had merriment in your walk with the Lord? See, in Luke 15, the Lord is telling you exactly how things will turn out when you desire to go to the way of the world. If I tell you, I don't have to look far when I say, okay, hey, say I'm in the world and someone offers you drugs, and I could say no because I know, well, there's rehab centers all over the nation that are dealing with people that have taken drugs, right? I could read headline after headline after headline of car accidents and mothers losing their children over drunk driving accidents. So if I never touch alcohol, I don't have to worry about that, or at least from that act coming from me. Jesus is giving us a picture here. He's saying, listen, I am your Father. If you go that way and want the world and want to be accepted by them, this is what's going to happen. It's just like the headlines in the paper. We know it to be truth because it's from the word of truth, from the God of truth. The Bible says in James 4:4, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You could be saved and still be an enemy of God? Yeah, I'm forever his, but I may not have a good testimony. And I'll say this. You want to talk about a sobering thought? This happened Friday night, 2 days ago, not in my sermon outline at all. I cater weddings for a living, unfortunately. That's what I do. And we're out this beautiful place out in South Wales. And the father of the bride, I want to get this right. Yeah, the father of the bride messed something up on a contract. They thought they had something, some kind of dessert station, but we didn't have it. And the event place didn't have it. So this guy starts losing his mind. And he uses some language that we ought not to be using and had an attitude and all this stuff. And our catering company, we fixed the problem. We went to the store. We got what we needed to do and all that stuff. And everything was great. An hour later, this man gets up, bride and groom, the father of the bride. Oh, I want everyone to just raise their hands and let's bow for a word of prayer. Gives the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Praise God. He gets done. People are amening. I don't know if this man was saved. I heard a rumor that he was a minister. I go back in the kitchen, and here comes the catering managers and go, can you believe this? This guy's a Christian. He's a preacher, and he was just talking to me that way. Our testimonies matter. The world, when they look at you, when they look at us, you know what they see or they think? They think God. And when they think God, they think holy. Now, you're not holy. Either am I. But that's what they think. So when you give them fuel to the fire, you bring reproach against the name of Christ. That's why he says in Psalm 23, for my name's sake, I will restore you. I will change you. Why? Because you need the help. He does it. So you could not bring reproach unto his name. I am a living, breathing testimony. I unfortunately have experience like this son. That was me. And how many relationships did I have to restore? Because people were like, wait, are you the same guy that I talked to 2 years ago? I'm like, well, I'm the same guy, but I'm not the same guy. Let me explain. They're like, yeah, okay, man. It's tough, but Christ is worth it. He's worth it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You could hold your place in Luke. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to just read verse 14. And a little further than that, it says, be ye not, now, for Corinthians, letter to the church, this is for the church, God bless you, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever. Paul's using comparisons here. It's like, listen, light and dark, they don't match, okay? Christ and Belial's the devil, they don't match. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? God hates idolatry, number one. He despises idolatry, and you can see that all over the Bible. For ye, church, are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. So if he lives in me and this body is a temple, God gives us some direction of how we should use this temple. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, the far country, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the, what? Unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Are you getting this? This isn't about salvation. We apply this for salvation. Come out from among them. Yeah, that's great. The first time you trust Jesus as your Savior and the only time for salvation, but church, for sanctification, this is direction to the Corinthian church from Paul saying, come out from among them. We know the Corinthian church, if you've read it enough, they were a mess, especially 1 Corinthians. So he's saying, come out from among them and I will receive you. So are there some times where the Lord doesn't receive what we're doing? Absolutely, that's what the Bible teaches. That's why sanctification is so very important. Sanctification is separation. Having the Lord, you separated from them. We in church, we talk all the time, man, why did God have the Jews not eat shrimp? And we get into all these debates. Well, they didn't know how to cook it. And it's a bottom feeder. And the pig, this and that. What if the Lord just said, hey, you live pretty close to the Mediterranean. I want you to be separate. This is one thing that will help you be separate. I don't know. I'm not the Lord. I'm just saying, we don't know. He just wants a separate people. He did that with his holy nation, the church, who is also made up of Jewish people, right? I hate when we say Jewish believers. No. They're Christians. It's Jew or Gentile, bond or free, right? And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Watch this. Go back to Luke 15. Now listen, I know this message and passage that we used in Luke 15 was directed to those who are saved and maybe were lured by the world and like the son in the chapter came back to the Lord and now have been received by the Lord and that relationship has been healed. Like I said, I have a similar testimony of that as well. But there may be some of you here that the minute you got saved, you never turned from the Lord. Honestly, you just had a strong walk with the Lord, and this sermon isn't for you, so you may think. First of all, remember this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Boast not thyself for tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You're living the spiritual highlight tonight. Yeah, you're great. That's wonderful. Praise God. Take heed. Because tomorrow you could be the lost son. Why? What could happen? I don't know. I don't know you. I don't know what's in your heart. By the way, I'll say this too. This kid, this son, he's just younger, I'm assuming. He's just, I don't know, maybe a young teenager. I don't know. At teenagers, we do stupid things, right? But I'll say this for the church. You, when you don't see someone in church for a while and they're out there in the world, whatever, that didn't happen at that time when you notice that they're just gone. They left a long time ago. So the message is, what I'm saying by that is we could be in the pews, we could be in the chairs, we could be singing the songs, but still not be in fellowship with the Father. It's a spiritual thing, folks. And another thing, don't have the attitude of the bigger brother. Watch this. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath, what's that word? Received him. He received him, praise the Lord, safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. This is the older son talking to the father. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, we get a little more information about what he was doing, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. First of all, notice the father received him. We're seeing that word a lot. We saw that in 2 Corinthians. Let's say verse 29 could be that bitter brother in the Lord that comes along and says something like this, and this is what I was hinting to earlier. Oh, so-and-so came back to the Lord. I wasn't even sure if they were saved. Have you heard that before? I have, unfortunately, and I've probably said that before. We need to stop that nonsense. The Lord is merciful, gracious, so gracious that we don't even understand. you need to take heed lest ye fall. Everyone should rejoice when a son or daughter returns to the Lord. Everyone should. I'm a product of answered prayer. I know I am. And in verse 30 through 32, think of how blessed the children of God are that have never turned their back to Him. You never experience that garbage filth of the world. Praise God. And what the father is saying, he's like, son, what are you getting all worked about? This kid was eating corn husks. You eat the fatted calf every Sunday. What are you getting all mad about? You should go embrace, embrace your brother around the neck, just like how I did. We need to think more like Christ. When that son is lost and he's out in the world and he turns and he comes back, you better believe there's rejoicing. Don't be, and doctrinally, I think what's going on here is Jesus is talking, this is a type of the Pharisee. Oh, really? Well, I pray this way and I do that and I wear the robe and I do all of that. And remember the parable? Well, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. The guy in the corner who wasn't saying his prayers out loud and trying to make a show of it. That's what I think doctrinally is going on here. But we also have Pharisees in the church. People that may think they're a little more self-righteous. When that brother or sister comes back to the Lord, embrace them. Disciple them. Teach them. Show them the way of the Lord. The church would be so much better off if we were just a little more charitable. Amen? Just a little more charitable. Or a lot more charitable. Whatever state your walk is today with the Lord, it can be better. Take heed. Like I said, I have a testimony of being the son that walked away from the father. The two greatest days of my life was the first one, realizing that I'm a sinner and I trusted Christ as my Savior, 7 years old. In a Sunday school room, Houghton College, Aunt Ellen was teaching. That room in the back, I don't know if you remember, it was like a horseshoe room where like the middle, I don't know, junior age kids were. And I remember, and this is a lesson, this is what I'm saying. I remember Aunt Ellen preaching, teaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember her saying, I was 7 years old, and I'm pointing like this because she was like right there. And I was like right across from her. I was in the middle of the U. And she goes, guys, this is all you have to do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm just like listening to her. And I heard a bunch of the other kids saying things like, oh, come on, really? That's all we have to do? Or oh, I don't know. And there was this spirit of doubt, let's say. I was scared out of my mind. And I said, I go, wait a minute. I didn't know if people were just going to agree and do this and nod. Yeah, oh, sure, yeah, yeah. I didn't know what to say. I haven't put my trust in the gospel yet. And I realized that maybe there's some confusion here in the room. I went home later that day and I had it out with the Lord, 7 years old. I didn't want to die and go to hell. Praise God. And I realized that He died for me and He's the only way of salvation. Praise the Lord. So at 7 years old, getting saved, that was probably the best day of my eternal life. The second best day was when I repented of the awful, backslidden, pig pen of a life I was living, and He received me with open arms. How about that? And I understood the more how great of a salvation I have, how great of a Father I have. Even when you go off and you're the one that's in the world and you're wasting your substance on the world, He still will receive you. That's amazing. And what makes it even better, church, is when the church receives you. When you have the body of Christ edifying one another. I'm telling you, that's huge. You need to encourage one another. Our last stop for this morning, and then we'll close in prayer. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to just read a few verses. maybe you could relate to this. I know I have. I know I do relate to this. Psalm 119, look at verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. You want to talk about feeling dry or low or whatever. This prayer is this. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken, make alive, quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. I have declared my ways. What did that son say? I'm a sinner. Father, take me back. I'll be a hired servant. I'll do whatever. He declared his ways. And the Lord heard him. The Father heard him. Teach me thy statutes. He turns, he repents, the Lord hears his prayer, and then the prayer of this one who has turned to the Lord says, Lord, I need to know more of you. Please teach me. I'm a mess. Verse 27, make me, and this is the scripture I opened up with, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. You repent, you turn to the Lord. I'm talking to saved people. You repent, you turn to the Lord. You thank him for hearing you because he will receive you. And you say, Lord, teach me thy precepts. Help me understand this. Why? So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And that's my prayer. That's me, hopefully, and that's what I could do is, hey, I'm up here talking of the wondrous works of God. And you could talk to your coworkers and the kids you go to college with or whatever, out there in the world, talk about his wondrous works. But we need to be taught by the word of God. Be honest with God. Listen, you right here, right now, you may not be at the bar and doing all this stuff I was talking about or harlots or riotous living. But where is your heart? The minute you start looking at that stuff, your heart changes. It is. That's how we are. So the Lord tells us how to get out of that. How do we get out of that? Think upon these things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is of a good report. Think of Jesus. Think of his word. Be honest with him and ask him to teach you. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the Bible. Lord, thank you for everyone here this morning. I pray that this is edifying unto them. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here today, I guess that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray for their salvation, but also as saved people, Lord, if our hearts are wandering, if we are being lured by that world, which is so easy to be lured, Lord. I pray that you prick our hearts. I pray that you, have that prayer that the psalmist had, Lord, that we realize that our soul's just cleaving unto dry ground, Lord, and we need some living water. Lord, refresh us, restore us, and thank you for receiving us every time we turn around. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a good day, folks. All right. Do this.